and welcome to Addressing Alaskans, a program capturing community conversations in South Central Alaska. Join us each week on KSKA Anchorage and travel to different spots throughout our community and listen to local groups gathered to discuss what matters to Alaskans.
This week, newly elected Alaska Governor Bill Walker. Walker is joined on stage by his Acting Commissioner of Revenue, Marcia Davis, and Budget Director Pat Pitney. Today's address is primarily about Alaska's fiscal future, especially in the wake of declining oil prices. Governor Walker submitted his budget yesterday. For up-to-date news on the budget details, check us out online at alaskapublic.org. We're going to start addressing Alaskans off a little differently today. Before we get into Governor Walker's address, we're going to hear a song from the Northwood Elementary 6th grade choir.
Our last song is dedicated to the new governor of this great state. Governor Walker, this is the Alaska flag song.
And without further ado, let's get to Governor Walker. This talk was recorded Monday, December 15th at the Denina Center. It was hosted by the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce. We start off with Chamber of Commerce President Andrew Halcrow on the mic to introduce Governor Walker.
Now on to today's topic and presentation. Today we'll hear from our newly elected governor and members of his administration on the state budget, the transition, and what he sees as the upcoming challenges for our great state in the next 4 years. At the end of the panel discussion, there may be time for a few questions. We will have two or three wireless mics situated throughout the room. Please think about your questions ahead of time, make them short and succinct. Because we are running a little late, we want to make sure we get you back to work on time. Now I'd like to introduce the governor. Governor Bill Walker is a lifelong Alaskan and former mayor of Valdez with extensive experience working in business, fishing, construction, and the tourism industry. As a young man, he worked as a carpenter and a laborer on the Trans-Alaska Pipeline to help pay for his education. He's a graduate of the University of Puget Sound School of Law. Governor Walker has spent over 30 years practicing law in Alaska with an emphasis on oil and gas and municipal law. Governor Walker and his wife have been married for 36 years. Donna, the head table here. Together they have 4 children, 2 grandchildren, and 2 grandsons on the way. Ladies and gentlemen, the governor of the great state of Alaska, Governor Bill Walker.
Thank you very much, Andrew, for the introduction. Thank you for the warm welcome. It's probably the first time I've been at the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce that didn't have someone with a timer in front of me with a bell and a ding or some sort, so I can take my time. I do want to once again thank the Northwood Elementary School Choir for that special time yesterday. And I'd like to introduce my first lady of 37 years, your first lady of the last 14 days, Donna Walker. Yesterday, we were asked to read jointly the night before Christmas to a group of young folks at the Palmer State Fair. That was a really warm fun thing to do. Not this is a different feel for this for the budget. So back to reality. You know, I was asked to say a couple things about the first question I think I received was, you know, tell a little bit about what it's like to be governor. And I can just say it's like nothing I've ever done before. It's really quite it's an incredible honor. The whole inaugural week started off with an incredible inaugural ceremony with Byron Mallott in Juneau. It was a day I'll never, ever, ever forget. And the last meeting of the week was in the Oval Office. So with the president. So, boy, you don't get a week quite like that. I don't think we'll see that happen again. But what a great opportunity it was to talk about Alaskan issues. We had an hour. There were six other governors. I was the only one that had been sworn in, so I was given a little bit more attention because I actually was a governor, and they were governor-elects. And so it was a good opportunity to showcase Alaska a little bit. It has been, the last 14 days, I guess it has been. I was thinking driving in today, it's a little bit like when we were in New Zealand years ago as a family. Our youngest daughter convinced me to go bungee jumping with her. What's been happening on the price of oil feels a little bit like that as far as that free fall experience, but we did bounce back up again in that South Island of New Zealand, and I'm sure we will. But we need to make some significant changes in our state. I'm not much of a believer, not very good at hiding the ball. During the campaign I talked about, we were at $7 million a day deficit. We're now at $11 million a day deficit. That's something we're going to talk about a lot. We're going to explain, make sure people understand. I'm more comfortable when you know what I know. I feel less uncomfortable if you know what I know. So we're going to be pretty blunt about where we are as a state. And it's not the Grinch who stole Christmas message today, but it is one that we're going to have to make some adjustments. But when I say we, I mean we as Alaska. And we've done that before, and we're going to do it again, but we're going to do it together. And you'll have an opportunity to provide input to us and thoughts and suggestions that you have, because we're going to do this in a collaborative process. It's not going to be just, late nights on the third floor. We've had those, and we'll have more of those. But it's going to be a process that Alaskans have an opportunity to provide input on thoughts. Some of the incredible thoughts and suggestions we have had came out of the transition process that we had. And Bill, thank you very much for that. Andrew, thank you for being part of that. The transition process was really a unique experience of reaching across Alaska and bringing 250 people together to listen to their thoughts or ideas or suggestions from the various teams. So that was hugely successful. The transition process is going fine. The other governors I met in Washington last week were shocked that we had about 10 days to put together this process once the election is certified and we take office. It's really pretty unique, and it's a real challenge. And so bear with us as we go through that process. Obviously, we have more to you'll meet part of our team today. We have more to appoint, so be patient with us. We're moving as quickly as we should. But being careful and deliberative in our selection process. There's a lot of good talent across the state, so we want to make sure that we have given everyone an equal opportunity to participate in that. The vision for 2015, obviously the budget is looming over us. We can't ignore it. We won't ignore it. We will address that. But that doesn't mean we'll stop being Alaskans. You know, the price of oil does not define who we are. It defines how much money we may have to spend in unrestricted areas. But it doesn't define us as Alaskans. You know, what defines us as Alaskans is the Alaskan spirit. And we've been here before. We're going to address it responsibly. And, everybody may not be pleased with where we are, but neither are we. But we're going to address this, basically manage our way out of this. Not necessarily to declare a crisis. We're going to declare an opportunity to manage our way out, and we're going to look at a long-term vision for Alaska on a fiscal basis. You hear more from Pat and Marsha on that in a little bit. So it's been quite an interesting 2 weeks. I'm very, very excited about the opportunities that we have ahead. As I said during the inaugural speech, We are the most resource-rich state in the nation and one of the top countries in the world on resources. We need to get our distribution system taken care of, build the distribution system, get our resources to Alaskans and to the world market. We have the opportunity to do that. We have the organizations in place to do that. So it's time we do that. And I was very, very clear about that in Washington. We had an opportunity to meet with each of the cabinet members for about a half hour. They would come in. It was an odd, we stayed in one place and then they all came to where we were. It was as close to a speed dating situation I think I've ever seen, but 30 minutes with each cabinet member, and each time we talked about infrastructure. The message from Washington was, they said, our country is in an infrastructure deficit. I said, Mr. President, we can help you out on that. We have some infrastructure projects that we're going to build, and we're going to need assistance in that area. So it's about building our way out of this the situation we're in. Yes, there'll be some reductions, but you can't cut your way into prosperity, as our my good friend Wally Hickel said so many years ago. There'll be some reductions, but there'll also be some opportunities associated with that. I want to thank the chamber for allowing us to make this this Monday, when we would typically roll out our budget. What we've done differently this time is we have presented a sort of the work in progress budget from the last administration. We're going to take that and we're going to adjust that. This is something that you don't do overnight. This is something you don't do without having commissioners in place. We'll work with the new administration as we put them in place and work with each particular department whatever term you want to use, right size, adjust. We're going to make some changes, some efficiencies that will be made that will reduce the financial obligation. Can we completely reduce this down without dipping into our savings? No. Will we have a deficit budget this year? Yes, we will. We cannot cover a $3.5 billion deficit and not hurt our economy. So we don't want to turn our economy into a tailspin, but we want to be honest and forthright about where we are and what it's going to take across the state to make this work. So the adjustments will be forthcoming. We have until February, sometime in 19th to present our supplemental budget to the legislature, and that's the date that we're going to focus on. We're happy to answer questions, but before I take up too much time, I'll turn it over to Marcia and Pat to talk about the budget, and then we'll take questions after that. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Marcia Davis, and I'm the Acting Commissioner of Revenue. And I had been in revenue previously in a deputy commissioner slot, so I was able to jump in very, very quickly. I think we had about 1 to 2 days to brief the governor on the revised economic forecast. So we are running on all cylinders. One thing I wanted to put this forecast in context for folks is that the Department of Revenue traditionally does a forecast in the fall. Once we put it out, then that becomes the planning document and the planning parameters for the legislature and the governor as they build a budget. That's not the final answer, because once we get into the legislative session, we, in spring, before everyone goes home, do a revised forecast. And so we get the benefit of an additional 3 months or so to fine-tune and make sure that the budget is a good match for what we think the revenue picture will be for that fiscal year. So as we approach this, obviously the prior administration and the team had done a lot of work and they had developed their preliminary budget, but circumstances overtook the world and a lot of things happened with oil price. Primarily, the commodities market was surprised when the Saudis didn't drop their supplies and decided to maintain their production levels. And so the signal was heard around the world that they were going to wait out the high-cost producers. And by waiting them out, our expectation is that when you're in the $60 barrel range, you're going to be seeing people hang in maybe for about a year, 18 months, but it'll start to shake and you're going to see the supplies drop and the ensuing price start to eke up. And that's exactly what the econ team had analyzed and determined was going to happen. So we needed to go back in, revise our numbers, and do that fine-tuning. So on day 2, Governor Walker got a revised picture. And we're going to share that with you.
Marcia Davis is referring to a PowerPoint presentation here. If you want to click through it for yourself, you can find a link to it on our website at alaskapublic.org. Just look for Addressing Alaskans on the homepage.
First, this is something that is a interesting, simple picture of something that's incredibly complex that people in the budget side and the finance side sometimes take 10 years to figure out. And you guys are going to be the smartest people in the room and in the bars when you leave here. So what this does is, from an economist's point of view, it's a two-part picture. One is, where is your revenue coming from? And those are the light boxes. And then, where is your revenue going? And so a simple way to look at Alaska's economy is you've got petroleum-based income and you've got non-petroleum-based income. And they come into the state state coffers from our collections in the form of taxes, royalties, license fees. And then we add to that pot our receipts from the federal government, and we add in something that Alaskans do extremely well, which is generate earnings on our investments, because unlike many other states and countries, we have some very large bank accounts that are generating a lot of investment income. So this all gets added into a bucket that we call total state revenue. And people might be surprised to know that in fiscal year 2014, we had the second highest total state income, revenue income, in the history of Alaska. And you might ask, how can that coincide with a year when we're facing our biggest cash crunch? And that's welcome to the unique picture of what is Alaska. So the total state revenue then gets spent in the following ways. You have unrestricted revenue, which is the bucket that generally is available for your capital projects and your operating budgets. That's the number most people focus on in terms of in the legislative action and in the administration's budget. Then you have the other line is called restricted revenue. And those are the items that you have to spend the money on or that you can only spend the money on. And those are designated items like some of your fish taxes, your tobacco and your alcohol. They have designated places that those monies go. The same with the federal revenue, because they're generally matching dollars. They're designated to road projects or energy projects. And finally, there's a miscellaneous category called other restricted, which may be restricted based on either because they're a permanent fund, there's some kind of collection that's been locked in. So when we look at 2014, this is also a unique year in that you have a much larger bucket of restricted dollars. And that's because the market was very kind to us in our investment returns. We had very high returns on our funds. And likewise, we had on the other side, in terms of our unrestricted dollars, we had a decent year for petroleum. It wasn't our best, but it was a decent year. But you'll see that each slice of the pie, we are only allowed to eat that unrestricted slice. So we're on a self-imposed diet of sorts.
This pie chart Davis is referring to shows about two-thirds of the state's revenue as restricted. So the slice she says we can eat adds up to about 31% of total revenue, just under a third.
For fiscal year 2015, this is, I'll bore the finance people because I tend to think of things like lay people do sometimes, and I think a year is a year. It starts in January and ends in December. In fact, the state's fiscal year starts in 1st of July and ends in June 30th, so it's a half the year is in one year and half the year is in the other calendar year. So when we looked at what was going to happen for 2015, it was a budget that had already been passed. It had been passed at $5.9 billion. We knew around now that we're going to have a need for a supplemental of about $200 million for our oil and gas tax credits. So we're looking at a budget of $6.1 billion for fiscal year 2015. So the question was, how are we doing? Was our forecast correct? So we've got the first 5 months of 2014, and you'll see those values are listed across those top five lines. And then we've still got estimates for December through June. So when we true it up, we have to figure if we pick a price that we think the oil will be at for the rest of the year, we'll average it in with the months we already have in the bag, and we'll end up with the average price for the year. So what you'll see is we've selected approximately $76 as our prediction for the average price. And that's because we're essentially using a value around $64 for the rest of 2015. And when you average it with the months that have passed, you'll get to 76. So I just didn't want people confused when you hear that revenue is banking on a price of 76 bucks for 2015. Don't think we lost our marbles. It's because we're averaging in known with the forecast. So when we looked at what to do, our directions from Governor Walker were to be accurate, to be conservative, to be as honest as we could about what we think the revenue price is going to be, or revenue will be based on the oil price. So what our economists have is they have a thing called a probabilistic model that builds in lots of predictions, lots of historical data, and from it they determine on the percentages that walk down that left side. It's actually the reverse of what you think it is. So when you see a 30% figure, what that means is the economists have a 70% confidence level that that price will be met or higher. And so what we decided to do is for the rest of 2015 and for 2016, we were going to go with a more certain oil price, and we picked that 70% confidence level. And so that yellow line comes across. So for fiscal year 2015, we're predicting 76. For fiscal year 2016, we're using 66. And for 2017, which is when we predict that the fallout will happen and the oil price will start to eke up, we're predicting 93.
Again, if you want to see these numbers and slides for yourself, there's a link on our website at alaskapublic.org.
Then for the following year, you get into a lot more of what I'll call economic la-la land. Because, you know, anything can happen, but we're bumping up to a 60% probability number for 18, and then the norm, which tends to be the 50% probability on out. So those are the values that we selected for oil price. The other part of the equation is production. And so we have not adjusted production numbers from what we had earlier in the fall session. And what you'll see is for 2013, 2014, those little boxes are actual production, average production for the year. For 2015 and 16, those are the fixed values that we're plugging in for our analysis for revenue. And then for 17 on out, what you see and what we're trying to portray for you is we are getting really good communication from the oil industry. They're being very honest and forthright in telling us what they expect their forward plans to be, because frankly, it's in their best interest to have a good measure of what they think the production is going to be. Alyeska Pipeline relies upon this type of analysis as well to make operational plans, maintenance plans, etc. So the dotted line at the top is the information we're getting from industry and what they expect the production level to be out into the future. But we all acknowledge that it has contingencies. It's based on investment from the parents companies. It's based on economic events that happen and the unknowns around maintenance, et cetera. So we discount that number. And the solid line is our adjusted production, what we think, what our best guess of production will be in the outlying years. And finally, that bottom dotted line tells you a base case. If no new investment happened, that would be the bottom line in terms of what we have now and how long that production would move forward.
Okay, here Davis is referring to a chart that shows an Alaska North Slope oil production forecast with barrels of oil per day projections through the year 2024. For 2013 and 2014, actual production was between 500,000 and 600,000 barrels per day. The best case scenario Davis referred to here pegs North Slope oil production at about 450,000 barrels per day by 2024. The worst case scenario shows a dip to about 200,000 barrels per day in the same time frame. The adjusted expectation line is somewhere between the two. It shows declining oil production over the coming decade, ending at about 300,000 barrels of oil per day by 2024. Remember, this is just a forecast, and you can see Davis's slides for yourself by visiting our website at alaskapublic.org.
So now you've got the price, you've got the production value, and we put it together, and what we end up with is adding that third column, which is our deductible lease expenditures. Again, 2015 is based on some real data mixed with our blend of expectations. And one of the things you'll note, if you look at production, you're going to see 2015, it's about 510,000 barrels a day. We're predicting about another 14,000 barrels a day in fiscal year 2016. and an additional 10,000 on top of that for 2017. So we are seeing some increased production bumping up, but you'll see at 2018 it drops off, and part of that drop off is simply our unwillingness to extend out that far and assume that everything that folks are saying is going to happen. And again, that's our adjustment to the production numbers we're seeing. We're trying to not create some expectations that may not get met. So that fourth line down tells you what the general unrestricted fund would be of revenues would be available for spending. So for 2015, we've now adjusted our available revenues prediction to be $2.5 billion. The budget is $6.1 billion underneath it, so that gives you a deficit of about $3.5 billion for the rest of 2015. So we've got 6 months to react to that and come up with a plan. Looking out ahead for 2016, it's not much prettier. We're going to have about a $3.4, $3.5 billion deficit, assuming that our prediction on oil price being low is accurate. And then as we move out, you get the other revenue numbers, which again, I consider to be more place savers than what we think is positively going to happen, because there are assumptions about production, there are assumptions about oil price that are more in the 50-50 range. But if we take those numbers and we assume, and we made a prediction or assumption to model out what happens to savings accounts, because that's what everybody wants to know. You know, you've got the statutory budget reserve, you've got the constitutional budget reserve. The whole point of building up those accounts was to have them available to weather what we call oil price troughs. We're trying to smooth it out. And if you assume that the budget for outlying years was fixed at $5.6 billion, in other words, it's basically we just took the Parnell budget of 5.64, I think it was, and just said, let's just stick it and take it out into the future. How long would our savings accounts last? And I'll add that on this, there is a very conservative view on investment income. You saw we had really good years, but we've just kind of planted it at a 4% return on investment income going out. And what you'll see is our statutory budget reserve and constitutional budget reserves run out in approximately between the years 2022 and 2023. So, you know, we're not in a, you know, a sky is falling moment, but we certainly have the space and time right now to get our act together and develop a long range strategy that's going to secure future generations of Alaskans. And I know that we've been told that's Governor Walker's top priority, is to get something developed in collaboration with the legislature and with Alaskans that will give a sense of confidence and security, not only to ourselves, but to industry that looks to invest in Alaska, to the marketplace that looks to lend money for those ventures. We want stability, and we want folks to know we have a plan. And you know, we've talked to a lot of the folks that go around and rate bond ratings, et cetera. And just because an entity or an organization is going through tough times doesn't mean they're going to whack you in your bond rating. But if you come to them and say, I've got a plan, I've got a process, I've got a strategy, and this is how we're working our way through this process, that's what gives them confidence, and that's what maintains your financial strength. Oftentimes folks say, well, what if you got it wrong? What if you got your price wrong? And so this chart is a real helpful chart, because it shows, what if we were wrong, and for 2016, instead of the oil price being $66, it's actually $60. What does that mean? Well, you can see that for the general unrestricted revenue, that would mean a difference of $167 million less in the general fund. So it gives you orders of magnitude about how the oil price can swing. Again, that's considered the annual average. I promise you the oil price is going to bump up and down throughout the year, but keep your eye on what the average is, and that'll tell you how we're doing relative to our unrestricted forecasted revenues. And that's it.
You're listening to Addressing Alaskans with newly elected Alaska Governor Bill Walker. This address was recorded Monday, December 15th at the Dena'ina Center. It was hosted by the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce. You just heard from Walker's Acting Commissioner of Revenue, Marcia Davis. Our next speaker is Budget Director Pat Pitney. This is Governor Walker on the mic to introduce her.
I wanted to say a few words before Pat takes joins us here, and I should have done that with Marcia. But Pat comes to us from Fairbanks, who's in the university system there for 20 plus years, I believe, in the financial department, and she is the only gold medalist in on our team so far. Pat earned a gold medal at the Olympics in riflery, so we're in good stead with her steady hand on the financial side. So please help me welcome Pat Pitney.
So I will also keep it fairly short and sweet. Just a little bit about my first weeks. It was a very fast transition. So I got a call on Friday to say, can you come meet with the governor on Saturday? I said, sure, I can do that. And got on the plane and went down. And I don't know, a half hour, 45 minute interview on Saturday. Got the offer on Monday. Announced on Tuesday, Thanksgiving Day, I left for Juneau and started on the 1st of December. And so the university really did, they were very flexible with my quick departure so that I could learn as much as I could as early as possible, knowing the deadline dates on the budget. So today is traditionally a budget release date. There will be budget bills that are transferred today. Again, it's for the operating side, it's Parnell's working budget, which is $5.6 billion. We know that there are changes from that. Tax credits are different. And there's, you know, whether we do pension obligation bonds or just pay for the pension, that would change it as well. So we know there's going to be changes. On the capital side, in order to give us time to evaluate every project, as the transition team had asked, we've reduced the capital budget to the minimum level possible, which is essentially the federal match part of transportation and a few other infrastructure projects. And then there's a school fund obligation for the Kivalina schools, and so that is also part of the capital, this base capital budget. That gives us roughly a month to really evaluate additional or fewer cost obligations. I don't think the capital budget can get any smaller. It's too bad you have a zero capital budget and it costs $100 million. But so we're going to take that month. We're going to try to get a good sense of what our budget priorities and mechanisms will be at the point the legislature comes in, so they have ample time to deliberate. The deadline is February 18th. We won't miss that date, but we are going to try to get it in as early as possible. But the situation we're faced with on the budget, the governor is right. We will depend on savings in the near term. There's no way to keep the economy going if we just all of a sudden said we're going to spend less than half of what our current operating and capital budget is. I mean, it's just not possible. The state deserves more than that. But whatever solutions we put in place from a budgetary standpoint have to be done with an eye of what is it 5 years from now, what is it 10 years from now, what is it 30 years from now. And so the solutions that we want to put in place need to be done in a very open and inclusive manner so that they last. Some of these choices are going to be hard choices. Some of them are going to be creative choices that put us on a better glide path. So I think working with the legislature, working with the public, re-engaging that transition team that was really unique among transitions with people who the only time they had ever been in the same room together was when they were in a legal battle. And now they were talking about the solutions. And it is important to remember that Alaskans do come together when we have something to solve. And we will depend on that. We'll be asking for feedback. We'll be asking for your engagement in helping educate the broader public on what the situation is in Alaska is, what some of our future choices might be. So the other thing we're going to do with chambers, with local governments, with Native corporations, with tribal organizations, we have to partner. We all deliver services. It all comes in some way, shape, or form from whether it's state revenue or local revenues. How can we deliver, restructure how we do business to deliver the services that we need in the most efficient manner if we look across the board at what all the capacities we have? So be thinking about partnerships. Please be engaged when it's time to help educate the broader public, and then we'll know more in about a month of what we really will be proposing in 16, and then adjusting that as we go forward for 17, 18, and beyond. So with that, thank you.
Governor Walker has to duck out and catch a plane in just a few minutes. So I want to open up the floor for questions. I think we have time for two, maybe three questions if they're short. We have a couple of roving mics, so just raise your hands. First question in the back. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Two words, Medicaid expansion?
Yes, that's something that we had talked about during the campaign. We're still progressing down that path. What we're surprised to learn is the kind of savings we're going to be rolling out, the kind of savings that would come as a result of that. I was not aware that there'd be savings associated with that. So that is still on track. We have begun that process. Val Davidson is knee deep or more so in making that happen. So we'll be bringing out some rolling out some numbers associated with that, and we're moving forward on the Medicaid expansion. We are.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you very much. I just wanted to ask, I just wanted to get a temperature read. I understand healthcare is certainly one of those issues that's important, and the other piece is education. I just wanted to get a temperature read. As we know, we're in a fiscal crisis in this state, and I wanted to know if it's still something you think of as holding sacred or our constitutional responsibility with regard to educating our young people. And how you feel about that.
This is when I wish Byron Mallott was next to me. Byron has a strong passion, as we all do, for education. And, you know, it's not a matter of, you know, when you're in a time of fiscal challenges, that's when you really need to make sure your priorities are right. And we have a very high priority on education. We're going to figure out how we can have the absolute best education available to our students at a cost that we can afford. I can't give you an exact number right now, but our priorities have not changed as a result of where we are. We just have to be more creative in how we're going to accomplish that. So don't think we're going to, you know, devastate. You know, education system is very, very important to us.
I was concerned about oil. Is there still a ban against exporting oil?
On the export of oil?
Yes.
Actually, you know, we've had a number of shipments exported from Alaska as a result. Initially, there was the oil export ban, and then shortly after Governor Hickel was sworn in, they changed that. So we've had some exports out of Alaska on the oil side. And that's something that probably will be looked at. I know some of the tankers have been returning partially full as a result of some issues on the West Coast. So I think export of oil will be looked at in the coming. I know that's looked at in the lower 48. I believe we have the ability to do that at this point. So I'm sure that will be. And I've had meetings with Exxon, BP, and ConocoPhillips on the in the last few weeks on the gas line. We've not talked about any oil issues of yet, but we will shortly.
Yes, Governor Walker. I'd heard some great things from the transition team about the cooperation and so forth. And Pat had mentioned the new opportunities for partnership. I'm curious what you've heard about opportunities for public-private partnership to expand our creative opportunities to reach this, solve the fiscal issues that we have, maybe in education or maybe even the Department of Fish and Game. You've done some thinking about that.
You know, we have heard a lot about public-private partnerships since in the last few weeks. Actually, before then, that came up extensively during the transition weekend, I'll call it, ways that there can be a collaboration between the public and private opportunities. You know, in times like we're in now, we're forced to be more creative than perhaps at $147 a barrel. So we're going to be creative, and we're going to be bold, and we're going to be aggressive on developing Alaska and growing Alaska at this time. In the private sector, this is, I belong to this organization. I'm a member of the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce. I've been in the private sector for all my life, and this is actually my first government job. So 2 weeks into it, I'm still looking at ways that we can have that relationship that is so important. And so it's not always just a fiscal relationship, it's also an attitudinal relationship as well of how we can work together. I've been very impressed with the outreach from the legislature to my administration, to myself, over the fiscal situation. You know, we have sat down, invited to the Senate majority's retreat, if you will, to talk about the fiscal situation. I've met with the co-chairs of the House Finance, and it's all been the same. We're in this together. There just may not be two sides of this table. We may be all on the same side trying to sort this out. But public-private partnerships are great examples. They've been used elsewhere. We have some good examples in Alaska, what we've done in that regard. To me, it's all about the infrastructure. I'm looking at the railroad, roads, opportunities to develop our state to the maximum extent as our Constitution requires. But public-private partnerships, of course.
Thank you. If I could just ask for a round of applause for our fabulous head table.
You've been listening to Addressing Alaskans with newly elected Alaska Governor Bill Walker. Walker's address at the top of the hour was followed by a briefing from Acting Commissioner of Revenue Marcia Davis. She was followed by Budget Director Pat Pitney. This address was recorded on Monday, December 15th at the Denina Center. It was hosted by the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce. Do you want to hear more programs like this one? You can find Addressing Alaskans in the iTunes Store. Don't worry, all of our programs are free. Just search for Addressing Alaskans and you'll see us there. Download your favorite podcast to listen to anytime and anywhere you want. Thanks for tuning in with us today on Addressing Alaskans. Until next week, I'm your host and producer, Monica Goki.
Addressing Alaskans is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Theme music is by Patrick Lee. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. To let us know about an upcoming community event that you would like to hear on Addressing Alaskans, just go to our website at alaskapublic.org and click on Contact Us at the bottom of the page. Learn more about Addressing Alaskans and listen online at alaskapublic.org.
Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.